Blog Talk Radio.
I would like to welcome everyone to John Talk Radio tonight, Independent Music Showcase. Our special guest is Question Mark of Question Mark and the Mysterians, the world's greatest garage band. Question Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah. I mean, it happens every time when people, DJs play our music. I mean, I already know some of the songs and I'm already dancing, shaking my booty. Right, so I have to take out my socks, right? So I'm not stomping on the floor and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so that's what I was doing. So I'm ready to bootay my bootay all night long after this interview too.
Question Mark, that's a funky
song. Are
you
ready for the marathon? That's what I'm saying. It's always a marathon, baby. Oh yeah,
that's a great
song. Yeah, but John, your name is now John A. Because he's the A. Baby, oh my God, did I say that? I got to go down. But anyway, that A, it means rock and roll like baby, groovy, instead of that groovy or baby. Sometimes I had to use that. Okay, getting back to Funky Lady, right? That's in our quadrilogy coming up. We have on our fan page, we have the trilogy from 66 to 67 on the small label Pagogo and onto Cameo Parkway. And that's the trilogy. It's our week by week on Billboard, the reviews, and it has to do with the Monkees and the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and question mark and the Mysterious, and why those groups continue and we were left out in limbo. Yeah. So that's the third part of the trilogy. But anyway, so that's Funky Lady. That's in 1973. People don't know my sound and our original material. Apparently, that was only after 2 weeks. But we can touch on these things later on in other interviews if the public wants me to come back and continue. You know, I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
But yeah, and but that was in 1973, only out for 2 weeks. And but everything now has appeared on YouTube since I noticed since 2008. Okay, so that's enough of that talk.
and you know, that's one of the, we want to talk about that a little bit, question mark, with the sound. I mean, it's just so clean, and the production sounds so good. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, believe it or not, we had Richard Schill, the original drummer, Robert Martinez, since 1962, and now came back into the group various times, but when we got back together in 1967, right? Actually,
okay.
96 and 97. In November of 96. Okay. Everything comes to me, even though I've always had a really tight group and other musicians. But that came to me. Somebody said, why don't you suggest to do that 30th anniversary? So when it comes to me, I'm going to see where it's leading to. Okay. But anyways, so we only had a week practice, and then we went into the studio and recorded it.
Wow.
And those members, they were playing in the Tri-City Valley, Saginaw Bay City in Midland, in Michigan, right? They're off of Michigan. And so they were playing nightly, the night clubs anyway. So that's why it was kind of tight.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as I wanted people to know that I'm a producer, because they don't know how I can produce. As you can see, there's the flute, there's the harmonica. And when you hear hot and grooving, there's horn, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, people don't know the sound that I come up with. But we have more sounds that we're recording right now and other things that are happening music-wise.
Now, if you would, question mark, we wanted to, you and I have talked a couple of times, and we've talked about, people getting the correct history and understanding about the band and understanding about how you guys got formed and kind of the history of question mark and the Mysterians. If you would like to just kind of walk us through that a little bit from your, and a lot of people very familiar with 96 Tears, but there's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah. And there's we got people who want to make a movie about us, but there's a fellow, Brian, and he's from California. We've been talking about, he actually wanted to make a movie in 2013, so we finally just hooked up. Everything has its time, in that rush.
Right.
So this is a brief history of question mark and the Mysterians. Okay. Somebody put me on stage when I was 4 years old. So I'm a dancer. And so I was entertaining fairgrounds, the Shriners, you name it. Benefits, all kinds, right? TV shows, when everybody had a Howdy Doody show, right? So, and then the next thing, American Bandstand came, right? So I wanted to be an American Bandstand so the world could see me dance. So those people couldn't dance, not even the Strand. And I actually wrote to Richard, because I never called him to Clark, and we had a very profound relationship. In fact, 2 days before he died, I woke up saying, who's going to die first, Richard or me? That was in April in 2018. No, we're not there. 2012.
Okay.
And two days later, Jimmy Hollywood, he's from the real Jimmy Hollywood, and he's known all over the United States in the morning, with his talk shows about the stars and the gossip and all that kind of stuff. If you don't have him on your radio, get a hold of him. He's got a page and a lot of things on Question Mark and the Mysterians. In fact, he got a gold record, and he really was there from the beginning. Okay, but anyways, and I almost died July of 2012. So I have these kind of things, okay. But to make a long story short, okay, now, so I always wanted to be on Bandstand, and if I could make it to Bandstand and he saw me dance, then I would be there. Okay. But, well, it didn't happen until 10 years later, 66, right? This is 1957.
Right.
Okay. But the other thing is then, so I'm dancing, the Mysterians, they started a group in 62, right? And they were playing the Ventures, and somebody told me about them, and they had heard about me, and so my cousin Bugs took me over there. Bugs was playing bongos. Robert Martinez, Larry Borges, and Bobby Valderrama, they were playing guitar, okay, the bass, okay. Rhythm. And then I walked in there, and I said, you guys rock and roll. And we started writing original material. I write songs every day. They just kind of, and I never listened to the radio and or been impressed by anybody or any sound. Okay, but we'll talk later about all those kind of things. So
right.
Then we stopped playing. 4 years we were playing. And then Robert had, we recorded a song. Lil Frank, the keyboardist, came in August of 1965. And then we'll talk about that story, but any later on. And then he was only 13, but when he recorded 96 Tears, he was 14. Bobby was 15. And so, you know. But anyways, but to make a long story short, our first song, original song was Are You For Real? And I'll Be Back. That was in February, the 14th. And later on, you'll hear those songs. But, and then because the drummer, Robert Martinez, was drafted into the service on that lotto, the birthday, on an odd day. So he went, we were stuck with without a group, a tightness, and it's always been Question Mark and the Mysterians just can't end like this.
Right.
So I called Lily Gonzalez. We auditioned for her in 65, and she said we weren't ready. But I had this demo. She heard it. Now she wants to record it. She doesn't know two of the guys are there. They're gone. So I had to get Eddie Serrato and Frank Lugo, and hey, it was terrible. So I called her up. Can we do anything else? Just like that. Yeah, you guys can do anything. That's how 96 Tears came about. But okay, we're going to talk later about that. But here's the thing. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. Usually people are hungry for it or they want to form a band and all this kind of stuff. That didn't happen with us. The way I describe it in the footage of the movie, right, the trailer, somebody planted a seed in the field, and out of that plant came this unique plant that offered something that no other plant offered, and it was a sound. It was an image, and people like that, and they start wanting to pick on it because they wanted a part of that plant, but other people got greedy. They wanted to take from it, take everything they could, and then destroy it, but the plant cannot ever die, and that's us. That's the beginning of Question Mark and the Mysterious. And that's how the movie's going to start out. But to make a long story short, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know when it was going to happen. So when it happened, everything came to me. And that's the basis of Question Mark and the Mysterious. And we're still together.
Now what?
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say. Right. And what? One thing I think, question mark, that's very interesting and unique about the sound was the keyboards and the organ that was out front instead of the guitar. And most of those bands in the 60s had the guitars out front. Was that, you would know this, but I was just thinking, was that a Vox Continental or was that a Farfisa organ?
No, it was a Farfisa.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, we can talk about that. and how all that came about. But the reason, when Rhea had already recorded in Detroit, you know, you have this this outlook of what a studio looks like, you know. But all of a sudden, we're going to record downtown Bay City. And you think it would be downtown, but we start moving away toward, like, the neighborhoods, right? I said, well, where's the studio at? Well, somebody's house. I was on the 86th floor of the Empire State Building, the Enthusiasm, right? And all of a sudden, that elevator was going to slam, and there was nothing going to be happening. But I had to put my brakes on and just see what it was going to be all about. We walked into the living room, through the dining room, the kitchen and dining room together, past the bathroom, into an outdoor patio, and no sound, no separation, one mic over the drums, and a mic to sing with, right? And it cost $50. And we did the song the night before. That's another story about 96 years in the bed. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I mean, I had written many songs before I even joined the group. And that was one of them that I wrote a long time ago. But that's another story how, upon because of that situation, the drummer going into the Army, that came about. So everything took its course.
Yeah, and then from the time that you got the demo, question mark, what happened then once you got the demo from the studio?
Do you mean for 96 years?
Yeah.
Well, we were recording, right, just getting the soundtrack, and, you know, on the two songs. But then Ray, the guy that owned the studio, right, Ray Shields.
Okay.
Anyway, he pulled me over and he said, we can't do this. That was March of 13th. We got to come back a month from now because his wife was in a mental institution. She was acting up. But I didn't tell nobody, but recently I have. And so we had to wait. We came back on April the 14th, continue recording the songs. Yeah.
Oh,
and that
yeah,
was
that's...
Go-Go. In May, it was released. And nobody wanted to play it. Nobody, even though we played for everybody around the Tri-City and things like that for 4 years. And I already knew it was a million seller. All my songs, you got to think of them. If you want to think of a million seller, they're not a million seller. They are the songs for you because I write my songs for you. And but if we have to put a category, yeah. There's no B-side. They're double A, right?
Well, okay, gotcha.
People think of the quote, the B-side, as being less important.
So is that single, is that available? Can you purchase those anywhere, question mark? I would imagine they'd be very rare if you could find one anywhere,
oh,
the
no.
original singles.
No, it is on the, well, the original single went from Pagogo to Cameo Parkway.
Okay.
So that's the original single. But when I discussed the album in 2005, after 40 years, right, because Avco held it back, right, everybody, you know, kept on saying when they're going to release the material. Anyways, I heard that they had the two demos, I mean, sound check. And I told them not to release it because it was a sound check. But they went ahead and released them on the CD, you know, question mark and Mysterians, both albums, right? And then
okay.
people say, well, the one song, the 96 Tears sounded like a blues. And, you know, and I'm saying, 96 Tears in stereo and Midnight Hour in stereo. You don't record in stereo. Duh. I was kidding around. And now people put out so many things that they actually believe, and then I have to explain everything because people don't, you know, understand when I say don't put it out and why. And then
yep.
you get people, you know, yeah, they were never intended to go out because they're sound checked. That was the 13th of March, and then we had to stop recording.
Okay. So what happened from that point? Then you get on Cameo Parkway, and then kind of walk us through that question mark about like how the song took off. And do you remember when you heard it first on the first time you heard 96 Tears on the radio? Were you like in a car? Do you remember anything like that?
Yeah, but see, I'm more interested in the people hearing our music, because these songs, like Cotton Groovin', was only out 2 weeks. Now, Make You Mine on Capitol Records and Ain't It a Shame on Tangerine were only out for 2 weeks. And there's, I mean, like I said, we have a very profound story, and everybody thinks because of 96 Tears, number one, a million seller, number one in October, million seller November, then we're going to go and record the second album in January. We get there. Cameo Parkway was nothing. I took the label because my favorite color was orange. It's orange. And Chubby Checker, the twist was on orange. That's one of the reasons I picked it. The other way, because I know the business. And I know they wouldn't. They didn't have nobody. What was the last million seller they had? Like I said, I knew it was a million seller.
Yeah.
No doubt about it in my mind. And so it's Midnight Hour, because that's the beat. I mean, the Double A. But I knew that, right? So why would I? Every record company in the world wanted 96 Tears. I mean, everyone. RCA, Capitol Records. Like I said, I was never impressed by anybody. Oh, my God. The Beatles on Capitol. Oh, my God. Elvis Presley. The drummer just idolizes, you know, Elvis Presley. I didn't go for none of that stuff. I went for a label that was going to concentrate, that had nobody but us. I mean, they had other people, you know.
Right.
But nothing was happening. Neil Bogart was a salesman. You know what I'm saying? And so we got to record, driving about 14 hours through the winter from Michigan to New York. He's looking out the window. I said, we're here to record, Neil. He turned around and said, we're not going to record you. Mm-hmm. I could have turned around, and you would never have heard anything else. But like I said, the question mark and the mystery just can't end like this. So then I said, oh, yes, you are. I know my contract. And I just told, because I could never get my contract. At that time, my manager, Lily Gonzalez, already made $160,000 behind our back. So she didn't offer. I found out in 1999. Like I said, we have a very interesting story. Not other than anybody else. I don't have a sad story to tell about, oh, my dad didn't want me, all this kind of stuff. I had my grandma raised, all this kind of baloney, right? I don't have a sad story. I have a story. And the Mysterians, we started from nothing. Nobody knew us. We never intended to record. Everything came to us. And they say, when I call Neil, we're going to get $50,000 each in April of 67. Nobody got their money. So I said, well, it's probably going to come all to me. So anyway, I called him up. Well, the checks didn't come in. And he said, you guys ain't getting nothing. You guys signed all your rights over to it. So I just said this. Bye. I never talk back or anything. I keep on moving on, right?
Yeah.
And the thing is, when they make a movie, this is 67, this is what's going to be in it. Here's what I said to myself. Okay, you guys can have all the money, everything that goes with it, the fame, whatever. But there's one thing you guys ain't going to have. And that's my ability to sing, my ability to write songs, and my ability to entertain. That belongs to me, and money can buy that. They all did now. Every one of them.
Yep. Wow.
The lawyer that went behind our back, he died 2 years ago. And I did pray that he would die. I did pray. You know why? Lily Gonzalez was 98 years old when she died. She was lucky she didn't die when she was 96. Neil Bogart died in 82. All these people, you know why? Because if they would have died, they all would have said, oh, yeah, question mark. Said, oh, question mark. So, oh, they would have been lying out of their teeth. So when both Lily Gonzalez and Neil Bogart died, I prayed for 2 years that lawyer that we trusted, there's more story to it, that he would die. I, not in, not in, not because of anything, because I knew how they would talk about that any time between that. And now they, you know, they heard evil, they spoke evil, and they listened to evil. Now they can't do none of them because they is dead. And I'm alive. When Neil died in 1982, I said, I'm still rocking and rolling. That was back then. I'm still rocking and rolling. I'm going to be rocking and rolling until I die.
And I definitely agree with that. I mean, your music is incredible, and I just can't wait to hear some of the new stuff that you're working on. Why don't we play Hot and Groovin', question mark. And would you like to talk about that before we play it?
No. I don't explain my song because it's your song, but I'll tell you how that came about and what radio stations were saying when they first played it for 2 weeks.
Okay, we'll go ahead and play it, and we'll be right back. You're listening to John Talk Radio's Independent Music Showcase. Special guest tonight is Question Mark, and we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Hot and Groovin'. And I want to welcome you back to John Talk Radio's Independent Music Showcase. Our special guest is Question Mark of Question Mark and the Mysterians, and we're playing some music that you may not have heard that you should have heard. We started off with Funky Lady, and that was Hot and Groovin', and that was incredible. See, this is really cool, Question Mark, because this is the first time I've heard this music, and it's just got such a great beat to it and such a great horn section. And I'm with you. Hopefully when the movie gets released, that this music will get re-released and we can do our best to play it and get people to understand how good it is.
So, by the way, that's our label. We have two labels. Well, I got more than that. We have Peacock Records, which is the single came out when they had the double side, the cassette. Time is on my side, right? And you ought to hear that one. I'm going to put that on CD, but that's another story. And anyways, that was 1988. That never got released. But anyways, I planted 5,000 copies, and the music business had, you know, had changed, and I didn't know that. But anyways, that's another story. But Cotton Groovin' is 1973 of August. Now, every time, I got two albums for every year since 96 years with the Mysterians. Somebody, you know, without the Mysterians, but still Mysterians, right? Other people that have been with me and, recorded their concerts. And I always, you know, because, you know, traveling and all that stuff, you hear the radio. But in my mind, boy, if the public could hear this, because it's not just happening on the radio, because I don't follow trends, nothing. Everything comes to my head. All I need is a few notes. While they're jamming, yeah, things like that. That's how original it is. And the lyrics just come out like that. So that's what people, now they're starting to hear that. Like I said, when that first 2008, when I read that on YouTube, the first comment was, if this group would have, they would have been one of the greatest groups ever if they would have continued. See, they don't know the story.
Right.
Even though that's in 1973, we all time continue. It was a business on the other side for this reason, for that reason, which we can talk. And that's a quadrilogy that my publicist, Susie Martin, will be putting together from 68 to 1999. Songs that we recorded. And why the public never heard of. Oh, like I said, original material. But that, you know, when I heard other songs like that, I said, man, you know, what would they do if they heard this? Well, you just heard two recordings. Now, if you go back to 1973, I wonder what was out then. You didn't hear these songs, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's really cool. I love this. You know, one of the greatest things for me, is to hear new music. And it doesn't have to be new. It can be older music, but it's new to me. And it's just nothing more exciting to me than to do that. And I really appreciate you letting us listen to that and to the listeners and the people that support this show. And I think it's just a great thing that you've done to let us, listen to this music because it's incredible.
Okay, well,
so
we do have a song in 1984 that we wrote together, Mysterians in the Garage, and it's called I Love Elvis Music. The only thing I say about Elvis, right? But what it is, I come out with, with the type of genre of music, right? Rock and roll, jazz, rap, all this kind of stuff. Then, and I mentioned the songs, right? And then I go into the groups, right? The genre of music, like Jimi Hendrix, right? Led Zeppelin. And then I end with that ? And the Mysterians and the songs, right? And then I come up with the songs like Purple Haze, Stairway to Heaven. So, and I said, listen to what's new. That's what the chorus is. Even though, like you just mentioned that, even though you said this is, it's new, even though, you know what I'm saying, for people in 1973, it is new. But, and this song, like I said, in 1980, I Love Elvis Music, and the chorus is listen to what's new. And look, a lot of people don't know these groups or know the songs today, you know what I'm saying? And it is
right.
New. like I said, I'm ahead of my time. When I write things, I do that all the time. They're timeless.
So what's your, how do you keep the music? Like if you write a song, do you record it? Do you write it down? How do you keep it so that you can remember it and take it into the studio? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, lots of times it's in my head all the time, right? Like I said, we're computers, right? So it's there. Before I had to get a tape recorder, brush up, get a cassette tape. Before that was a reel-to-reel. And then find a microphone and all that kind of stuff and jot it down. But now with my iPhone, boy, boo. But see, what people don't know, I'm into sound. I wrote the music. Did you ever see Out of Africa, the movie Out of Africa?
Yeah. It's okay. Been a while, but...
Yeah, but I wrote lyrics to that orchestra music.
Cool.
It's called Together Forever. I mean, I wrote that in the year 2013 when I seen the movie, and right away these lyrics came. Well, another lyrics that I wrote, did you ever see How the West Was Won?
Yeah.
Just yesterday.
Yes.
I've always come in, somebody has it on or something like that, my manager and his wife, right? And I come in and it's on. I never seen the beginning. Last night, you know, I was sleeping. I woke up and all of a sudden the melody came in my head, right?
Mm.
And just like that, I start writing lyrics to that. I can write lyrics to any orchestra music. I can do music with orchestra that people, they're not even doing. People don't know that I'm a producer, and I can produce any sound. But I'm going to see the whole movie. I don't have to see the whole movie, but that's how the West was won. And it tells a story, but I ain't going to tell you what it is. You know, from the beginning, right?
Right.
It's a love story about how the West was won. The hook line is how the West was won. If you remember that music. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I can't remember it right now, but
yeah, I know.
I do remember. I remember the movie. Yeah.
So now I have a girl singer, Mary Ellis. We did an album together in 2002, right? Where she sings all the songs because she couldn't get two other girls. Because I wanted people to know what I can do with girl singers. You know,
okay.
Produce. And we did make a song in 2001, the day after 9/11. It's called New York City. I have a whole, people don't know my sound. They just come to me, the lyrics come to me, and just like that. And now when I hear the song, our song that we did, I have nine little kids singing in the background and a piano. People don't know what I can do with sound. And produce because they were stuck just like we were with a sound which I love, but I never had one type or style of sound or style. I'm always there. Well, look at Midnight Hours, the flip side of 96 Tears. When I told Eddie Serrato, I want something to start out with a drum and offbeat. I don't even know what an offbeat is, but when I hear it, it's going to be off. So he was playing this, he was playing that, he was playing that. Finally, I heard that drum beat. Yeah, that's what I want.
That's cool. Yeah.
How many songs at that time started out with a drum?
Yeah, not many.
Well, and it just comes to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Would you, well, now the next on our list here, question mark, is Do Something to Me and Girl, You Captivate Me, those two songs. Would you do we want to play one of those? Do you have maybe another story you want to tell before that? Or
no,
it's all...
I'd rather play the music because I want people to hear these songs and why each one of these songs, from Do Something to Me, Girl, You Captivate Me, Can't Get Enough You Baby, they all went downhill. Like I said, they were going to record us, but they weren't going to push the songs. So people thought, oh, question mark, and Mysterian, they can't do anything more than I need somebody, and we're stuck with that image. Oh, no, that was not our doing. The B-sides,
right.
The new Bogart decided would be our music, that which to them was a B-side. Yeah. So that's what happened to question mark and the Mysterians, and then we were left in limbo.
Well, you're coming out of limbo, so this is awesome. So this is really good. we'll play. Let's go ahead and play Do Something to Me, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back with Question Mark of Question Mark and the Mysterians. Don't go anywhere. This is Do Something to Me. And we're back on John Talk Radio. I'm your host, John Darlington. We have Question Mark with us tonight. We're playing music from his career. You heard Girl, You Fascinate Me and Do Something to Me. Those are just amazing rock songs. You were saying, Q, that you were felt like dancing earlier, and there's hardly any way you cannot do that. It just gets to a part of you that you have to move, you have to feel that music. And I think that's what you and I have talked about, how that you, when you write a song, it's a song that you can connect to and you can feel that beat. And I think it's just an incredible.
Because, you know, I'm a dancer since I've been on stage entertaining. I'm still a dancer. I'm still entertaining. So I have to write music. I mean, but our band, we can do any type of music. Right now, Bobby's doing smooth jazz. In 2000, he had the blues band with Lil Frank, the keyboard player, Bobby. And once in a while, Frank Lugo, the bass player, and once in a while, Robert would, you know, play around the area. And they would play around the Mysterians, you know, during the 60s and all that kind of stuff. I had a group doing original material that comes to me. I had double leads. Like I said, I had a girl singer on Time Is On My Side, the first time I ever got a girl singer in the group. Another a female, you know, which doesn't make any difference, Susie Woodman and her husband, P. Woodman. In 1973, we had two recordings. And it's Panic in the City and Laugh and Sing Like the Old Times. She was playing the B3. And I still have the things to release that, the masters. I can find a 2-inch, you know, Scully machine or X-Pit machine. So there's material that people haven't even heard yet. And, I mean, what you're hearing is what people have heard that we have performed at least once on stage. 110, Do Something to Me, because Cameo Parkway decided they weren't going to push us. But I said, nope, this is what my contract that I remember. My manager already took money, right? And
right.
The thing I found out 4 years ago, I knew they took the money. But the reason we were left in limbo, I mean, I got Terry Knight the Pack, I got Bob Seger on the label, I got SRC. And we got people from Michigan, right? They thought, Neil Bogart thought we were from Detroit. I said, no, we're from the Tri-City Valley, right? Oh, the Boondocks. Really? I said, no, there's rock and roll and all this stuff. But I told these groups, and they all got signed up to it. So not
that's
only
awesome.
Were they left in limbo, right, and, you know, on Cameo Parkway, but the thing is Question Mark and the Mysterian just kind of end like this. And that was, and then 110, Dick Clark, Richard Clark for everybody, right? Anyways, like I said, we had a profound, he wanted me to meet his son. He's 9 years old. So he calls to do a show on one of his caravans down in, Strawberry Alarm Clock had the number one song. Yeah, I did American Bandstand, but you still didn't see me dance. And Gary Captivate Me, they only from the waist up. And so far I haven't seen Can't Get Enough You Baby and Do Something to Me, which Richard asked me before. He wanted to tell him what the Cas Baby means, right? Cas Baby. And I said, if I tell you that, you ain't going to want me to do the song. So I never told him what it meant. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Okay, so question mark, when you have one thing that Susie asked me to ask you was if you could talk a little
bit
about the okay.
But yeah, so it went to 110. Gary Captivate Me went up to 98, and I like the edge, like I told you, and without cussing. And I managed to get in there, Girl, You Masturbate Me, you know? So anyway, yeah.
Well, let's talk about, next song up is we got Can't Get Enough of You and I Need Someone.
I Need Someone.
You want to, you want me to play those now?
Yeah.
Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. Okay, we'll come right back with a Question Mark, and he'll talk a little bit about this. And we've got a lot of songs. We'll be here I think we can be here for another 38, 39 minutes. If you can stick around with this question mark, that would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we'll be right back after this. And we're back on John Talk Radio. That was Can't Get Enough of You Baby by Question Mark and the Mysterians. And Question Mark, talk about that song a little bit, what year that was and when that was released.
Okay, all three of those songs, Can't Get Enough of You Baby, came after I Knew Somebody, right? And Gary Captivate Me, they were all released in 67. And Do Something to Me was the last one in September. And it was top five all over the United States and in Hawaii. And like I was saying, Strawberry Alarm Clock had the number one song. So Richard wanted me to sing. And anyway, so we talked the whole night away. When we got there, you know, Richard had these big concerts, right? And we did our thing, but it didn't sound right. We didn't have a sound check and all that kind of stuff. So me and Richie, you know, we're talking and all that kind of stuff. And he still remembers all that stuff. The last time I talked to him was 2006. But to make another story short. Anyway, so I said, you know, Richie, can we go back up again? And he said, well, question mark, you already did your set and all that stuff. I said, okay, well, if you need us, we're ready. It's what?
Right.
Strawberry Alarm Clock. They're late.
Oh, wow.
They're the headlines. They're late. Number one song, they're late. Richard comes back, question mark, can you guys go back on? Really? I didn't say that, but how did I know, you know, something was going to say, you know? So now, boy, we did the same set. We didn't finish. I mean, I could feel the music. The band could feel the music. And I'm dancing, right? Because Richard really never saw me dance other than the little things I did at American Bandstand, right?
Right.
And,
right.
But anyway, and so I'm dancing and I'm just doing my thing. And he calls me. I see him. And he... at the steps where you come in, you know, the back steps, you know, to stage. And he's there, and he's like, you know, telling me to come to him. So I'm dancing and singing and smiling. And he says, question mark, if you keep on dancing like that, I'm going to have to stop the show.
Oh, wow.
See, nobody did a show like that. we entertained, let me tell you, we were entertainers. If we ever made the Ed Sullivan Show, but we didn't get there because of Cameo Partway, you would have seen, they would, yeah, we would have been the world's greatest group, not one of them. My little Frank was playing keyboard, the bop, backwards on his knees. Mm-hmm. Bobby, in 62, he was doing like Hendrix with his teeth and playing the guitar behind his back.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I was doing splits and everything. You would have seen that on Ed Sullivan, and you've seen the 60 program that he had presented, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have been talking about anybody. Like I said, but that's the way, that's why our story is a story, no matter how the people in any business abuses you. In any business, I use the group as an example. If you know who you are and what you are, you keep on going. You just keep on going and keep on entertaining. That's the whole key to the thing. But anyways, yeah. So, yeah, that's – but anyways, that's do something to me, okay? And but see, we didn't get recognition. 110? Okay. Now, Girl, You Captivate Me? Yeah, they filmed me from the waist up because there's a video of that, right? And all that kind of stuff. And yeah, like I said, I don't like to rhyme if I don't have to. If I catch myself, I stop. But Girl, You Captivate Me, guy. Girl, You Fascinate Me. I mean, really? What's the next thing? Girl, You Masturbate Me. Work it up. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You know, but so I got away with that. Can't Get Enough You, Baby. Now, when he said Neil Bogart, because they're going to make a movie about him. He's been in the works since 13. Justin Timberlake sort of looks like him. He's supposed to play his role, but they better act quick because otherwise Justin Timberlake's going to get a little older.
Yeah.
Neil Bogart was 24 years old in 66. He died in 82. Okay. And, but to make a long story short, so, nope. I said, you know, this is what you're going to do. And he said, okay, we'll record you, but we won't push you. At that time, but yeah, remember, Do Something to Me. A year later, Tommy James and the Shondells came out. But it sounded like Moni, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But to make a long story short. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. And Billboard, by the way, everyone was going to be in Minnesota. We got the reviews. We did a lot of homework. Susie Martin did, our publicist. But we really got every week Billboard and what was happening with all these groups to continue with success. Whether they played the instruments or other people played their instruments. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But because of that, everybody thought we were there and then we weren't there. That's why I call ourselves the missing link. Okay, to move on though. Now, Can't Get Enough You, Baby. They brought in the guy on a piano, and he started playing it. And then Neil Bogart said, okay, we're going to start out with 96 Tears. What? I mean, people are going to think we can't come up with something else, and we have to depend on 96 Tears, whatever.
Yep.
Either we do or we go back home. January, right? Nope.
Okay.
And then Neil says, you know, put a little bit of 96 Tears in there. So I produce it. I arrange it. On both albums, guess what? He took credit for producing it. He didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Not even for the 96 Tears album. But he's got a name all over. And then naturally, he went to Casablanca. And then what's the other one? Buddha Records, right? Things like that.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yep.
And anyways, with our money. But what the government did, like I was saying, because of what they did and took the money from 57 to 67, you know, and my manager was in on it too, right? Anyways, I never heard of this, but I, like 4 years ago, they stopped the label completely. Hmm. Why would they stop the label when you had, you know, the five stair steps, right? The Times, Terry Knight the Pack, Bob Seger, the Rationals, Question Mark and the Mysterians. And that's what happened to the label. I never heard of such a thing.
Right.
You know, why didn't anybody else pick it up. I mean, they had two people. Well, when we got there, the first one, because I picked the label, right? Yeah, because they would concentrate on us in a different way. But no. And right away, Neil said, you know, told me and tell everybody, don't be talking to anybody else, right? So we never talked to Cecil Holm, you know, a colored dude, you know. So he was in charge of that. Marty Thaw, right? We didn't talk to anybody. But I met Marty, and I talked to Cecil in Los Angeles, and just told him what had happened, and we were told never to talk to them. But Marty, I met him. He had in New York, he passed away recently, and he had the red label, something like that, right? And yeah. But anyways, but that's what happened there. So they were planning something all along, because they knew what they were going to get, and for whatever reason, right? And that's what happened.
Right.
With Question Mark and Mysterians. And good night, Can't Get Enough You Baby. At the same time, the Toys had recorded Can't Get Enough You Baby. Same year. It's been in one movie. The Four Seasons recorded, but the Toys sounded like Motown, a little bit like the Supremes. And
okay.
The Four Seasons, I never heard it, but they also recorded, you know, Can't Get Enough You Baby. We came out, and naturally went up to number 56 without any pushing, because they were going to push it. But Billboard, you'll see the reviews. They were all 5 stars. In fact, the next song you play, I Need Somebody, it was advertised by Billboard. This is their second million seller. It went up to number 22 because on the strength of 96 Tears.
Yeah.
See, this is what the people don't know. This is what the people that are starting to hear, the sound that I was developing, that I still develop, they never heard. They never heard. But that's
right.
The way our story goes.
Well, yeah. Susie gave us a couple of songs that she wanted to play, and we wish she could be on the show tonight, but she had some things come up. But she, question mark, she wanted to play Make You Mine and Ain't It a Shame. And she said those are two really of her favorites. And I think we'll take the time right now to play those two songs, and then we'll come back and wrap up the interview with question mark. And we'll, she also asked me to ask you about the third album that never came out, and possibly about the fake question mark that was in Columbus, Ohio on the radio. So we'll talk about that, and we'll be right back with question mark right after this.
Well, I just wanna make you mine.
Oh,
Back on John Talk Radio, Independent Music Showcase. I'm your host, John Darlington. We're back with Question Mark of Question Mark and the Mysterians. And those were great songs. We played Make You Mine and Ain't It a Shame. And those were choices that Susie Martin wanted us to play tonight. And we'll dedicate those to Susie. And talk about those, Question Mark, because what year were those songs released?
Okay. After 67, right? We're left in limbo. We used to go down Alabama and fish and things like that, right? And we play, but all of a sudden, one night I came up with these two songs, right? Not Ain't It a Shame, but Make You Mine. So we got together and just practiced. And the other side is I Love You Baby Like Nobody's Business, right? But to make a long story short, anyway, so then we heard about the studio. And we went in there and recorded, okay? Just to record. I mean, you know, when you know there's something good, you want to record it anyway.
Right.
It's 68, right? And then all of a sudden, Lily Gonzalez, right, who we trusted, and her lawyer until 1999 when we found out, you know, what really was going down. And anyways, she had a deal with Capitol Records. Okay, you know, cool. They like the single. They want to put it out. That was only out for 2 weeks again now. 2 weeks. On a major label, right? Now, it was June of 1968. We were there the same week, and we were there for a month that Robert Kennedy got assassinated. Okay? And anyways, and so, yeah, you know, that was all over, but we still, like I said, I never skip a beat in my life or my music. And we have to record, right? We got a single out. It's going to be happening. And all of a sudden, Lily comes to me and says, Question Mark, why don't you give me power of attorney? Because I know the business. Once again, trusted her. And I said, power of attorney? What would be the reason? So what happened at Cameo Parkway, remember, I didn't know until 1999 that she already got, you know, money from the stock and $160,000 behind our back.
Wow.
And we got nothing. So, yeah, so I gave her power of attorney. You know what she did? She went to the executive of Capitol Records saying, if you want the album, you're going to have to pay money out in front. Well, they didn't pay the money, and that's why that song, which is in our quad elegy, didn't make it. It wasn't Question Mark and the Mysterians. Couldn't perform, couldn't write songs, couldn't entertain. It was the people at the other end of the big machine. They were. Remember I told you about that seed that was planted in the field?
Right.
People liked it. They wanted that product that it produced. People wanted to take from it. They wanted to kill it. But this plant can't die until it's time to die.
Right.
And it'll still
yep.
continue. It'll still continue. But okay. Yeah. So didn't pay it, and we were dropped from the label. Okay. So now, I signed up with the booking agency. I got an offer from Buddha Records, 1969, around April, right? And I did a song called Shalala that I didn't write. And but the deals would be after that would be original material. And Terry Knight, he wrote the beat, well, the beat, an instrumental of our bass called Hanging In, right?
But, okay.
Anyways, but yeah, it's a, you know, Super K, a division of Buddha Records. So it's a major label. You know what I'm saying? Once again, by Neil Bogart, right? Also. And anyways, that was going on 2 weeks, right? And right now, somebody told me about 2 years ago, the college kids are really digging that song. Sha-la-la, right? So reason. Anyway, but and then all of a sudden, when we recorded, when we were with Capitol Records, that was in June, now going back to 68, naturally everybody's doing Christmas songs, you know,
right,
for release. So
yep.
It was the tower, Capitol Tower, was, you know, occupied, so we had to get a studio, and we got Ray Charles, you know, studio. That was
wow.
available. So we went in there. So the keyboard that you hear on there and the organ belongs to Ray Charles. And naturally, the little French keyboard player wanted to know if it would be all right if I would let him play those keys. Why wouldn't I? Because when would be the next time he would play those keys? Well,
yeah.
There wasn't. There ain't enough next time. So what you hear, those are Ray Charles, you know, keyboards. Okay?
Wow.
But, and so we completed the album, right? But then, naturally, the single didn't go because of what Lily did, find another label. And so that's what happened there in 1969. So both labels dropped me because you can't belong to two labels. And people all the time ask me when I did go to a label company, are you sure you ain't signed with somebody else? You know,
yeah.
Everything goes along with you, right? No, I'm not, whatever, right? And, but anyways, so the last time I contacted Tangerine was in 1995. You know, everybody knows about the third album. I have the Ray Letts, by the way. The Ray Letts, I told you, I like female singers. People never heard
yep.
of with them. And they're on a copy of Love Me Baby Cherry July. I wanted that in 67 to be quote, the B-side of Do Something to Me, which was our material. But our songs were the B-side. They chose the A-side.
Okay.
But I was asking Neil and Marty, thought we were walking down the street, New York, right, to a restaurant. And I said, Neil, I want some girl singers backing me up. No, question mark and all that stuff. So I didn't get the girl singers. Well, now it's 1968. What? I mean, I'm going to get the Ray Letts to sing this song the way I wanted it.
Right.
So I got the Ray Letts on that, a little up tempo. And That's How Strong My Love Is. I did that by Otis Redding.
That's, you know, a great song.
The Ray Letts backing me up. Mm-hmm. This is a dynamite third album. Plus, original material, plus our version of In the Midnight Hour, because I never knew Wilson Pickett had a song called Midnight Hour at the time, because I didn't listen to the radio and he wasn't our bandstand. So
yeah.
I would never have said Midnight Hour. But now, our version, I bring the music down because I like to rap when I do live performances. And then Lil Frank is playing the mean keyboard. You know what I'm saying? A piano,
yep.
yeah, you know, that you would never hear anybody else do, or the way I rap in the song, right, things like that. So, yeah, and the rest of the material is, That's How Strong My Love Is. All the other songs are original, you know, Ain't It a Shame. We use the, Why Can't I Love You? Somebody, there was a sitar. So I said, Bobby, why don't you play the sitar? Because I wanted that. And you'll hear it's a dynamite album.
Wow.
But they're still holding on to it. And
yeah.
I still call them up. Well, they said they had no intention of selling me the tape or releasing the material. I mean, so I spoke to talk to Ethel. She's still there from 1968, right? And she's supposed to get back to me. And, so that's what happened to Ain't It a Shame. Oh, they released it. The guy, Mark Taylor, he forged my name on a contract. It wasn't even it was a one-page contract. And so I told him about it. And he said, well, you signed a contract. And I said, no, I didn't. So they sent me the contract. It wasn't my signature. So he might have got some money for that. And
yeah.
Whatever, I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, so let's see what happens. And I was going to, you know, let them hear this on the radio. And, I mean, it's about time we release the third album.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible stuff, and I think the people would just love it. So we got just a few minutes left, question mark. Susie said there was a good story about the fake question mark and that got on the radio, and there was also, back then, there were a lot of fake bands going around, and you guys played with the fake zombies once. I don't know if they want to talk about that's just that would be great to have in the movie also. So we got just a couple minutes
there,
if you'd like. Okay.
Yeah, so before we get there, I want to, you know, tell everybody, Susie's friend, Tommy Wright, right? A fan, great fan of Question Mark Mysterians. Well, it's been 30 days. He had a stroke. They've been friends since 2012. I'm, you know, trying to compose myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, she's going through H-E-L-L because I don't cuss. And but they moved them to hospice, right?
Right.
And she was there for 17 days, and they got the cops because they knew they weren't taking care of him. And so they escorted her out of the hospital, knowing that he was in bad shape. But anyways, last night about 11 o'clock, his sister came and saw the condition and got him out of there. So now, like I said, and I pray for everybody.
Right.
Everybody that has their mothers, their cousins, their dogs, everything. Whenever I read them on my Facebook, I say a prayer. And I all the time say this. You can pray. But this is the way you do pray. The people never say. You have to ask, whether you acknowledge it or not, the Creator to provide. Because you have to ask the Creator to provide what you want, not just pray.
Right.
Because He's the provider. That's the key. And you got to have the faith. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah. We will definitely keep them in our thoughts and prayers.
I like everybody out there to pray to provide for Tommy Wright to recover.
Yep.
Okay. Like I said,
we're with you.
Now we can get back to the music. Tommy liked
yep,
them.
We just.
He loved it.
Yeah, Ben, we just got just a few more minutes left, question mark, and we definitely want to do another show or as many. Yeah, and that'll
be 96 here.
Yeah, that'll be our last song. And what would you like to say in closing? I really appreciate talking to you tonight.
Miriam from Norton Records, every year, because they know how profound I am. Question mark, what do you have to, you know, for this new year, things like that. So it just comes to me, right? But there's a saying that I'll try and say. No matter what the tragedies are, even though there's a line in 96 Tears, it has many different meanings. As when the sun comes up, I'll be on top. In our case of the tragedy, like I said, when we had the fire in 2007, you got to pick yourself up in that instant. If you don't, no matter what the tragedy is, no matter if somebody came and stole your grandchild, killed them or whatever, you got to pick yourself up in that instant and go on with your goals as a family or whatever it is, a couple, whatever it is, right? You still got to go on. You have to pursue that and focus. And that's why I use this term all the time. No matter what happens in your life, just rock and roll, baby. You see, rock and roll means everything. But also, it's the groove that keeps on going round and round. There's not a straight road, per se. You know, no. You're in the groove of life. And it goes round and round and round until your life ends, then it stops. For others, it still continues. That's the groove. And that's rock and roll. So no matter what happens to your life, like today, tomorrow, or whatever's happening, just rock and roll, baby. Just rock and roll.
Well, Question Mark, thank you so much for being on. We'll get back together. We'll set up another show or as many as you want to do. Thank you so much. And we'll play 96 Tears in closing. And thanks, and have a great evening.
Yeah, and well, I hate the term, but all my friends. They're all my friends.
Yeah.
Like I said, long time ago before Facebook, I kept on saying, you know, one day I'm going to meet all my friends on the other side. Well, because of Facebook, I'm meeting my friends right now.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, yeah. I see them. I see their stories and what they're about. And I know what they're going through. I may not reach every one of them, but I do say that I'm always thinking of them. I'm always writing my songs for them because they're my responsibility.
And your Facebook page is Q Mark, so if people want to go out and see that, that would be great and be friends with Q Mark.
And like I said, if you weren't there, I would sing to the birds. If the birds weren't there, I would sing to the clouds. If the clouds weren't there, I would sing to my creator because this is the gift that he gave me to get to you.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to everybody later, and everybody have a really, really great evening.
Crack, crack. 96 years, yeah, come on now, 96 years.